Hoops Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking at this bill, and I think it may have gotten a little bit better. That's good. Hey, before I do that, let me tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. Otter Creek Farm, what a cool, cool place. So listen, the chefs at Otter Creek Farm are bar none. I mean, they are amazing. And Charlene and I have gone out there for some amazing dinners. Sometimes it's been like kind of a low-key, kind of a quiet dinner. Other times we've been there with large groups of people. The culinary staff at Otter Creek Farm is incredible. So if you're thinking about a wedding destination, if you're thinking about a corporate retreat or a family getaway, and you want to go and stay overnight, just understand the food out there is going to blow you away. So Otter Creek Farm's like an oasis in North Alabama. You can go wing shooting there. You can hang out by the lakes. You can sit by the infinity pool, have a glass of wine, and watch the sun go down over the hundreds of manicured acres. It's just an amazing place. That's why it's been featured in Garden Gun magazine. That's why Donald Trump Jr. himself came and stayed there not so long ago. So listen, I'm going to say check it out. OtterCreekFarmstead.com is the website. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. All right, so I am looking at this revised bill. I say revised, substituted bill. The way this works, if you're not familiar, I gave kind of a blow-by-blow yesterday of the legislative processes. So yesterday, the Senate had taken Senate Bill 9 to the floor after going through committee. In committee, I believe it was. They actually substituted Senate Bill 9. They did. It was a committee sub to Senate Bill 9. They came out on the floor, and they debated it. And really, they just had to endure some filibusters. All the procedural stuff got done, and pretty much on a party-line vote, we had an overwhelming majority pass Senate Bill 9 yesterday. It's the bill that allows for you to claim a religious or medical exemption and to be able to claim that, and the presumption is you are then not allowed to be fired if you have claimed that exemption. The bill, as it was written in the Senate, simply had you filling out a form, and the employer puts that in your file, and you're done. Unless the employer, for some reason, wants to disagree with it, at which point the employer cannot just disagree with it on their own. They would have to apply to the Department of Labor and tell the Department of Labor why they don't want to do it. And the Department of Labor would be the third-party arbiter. Now, I get it. Some of y'all don't trust government. I don't trust government a whole lot either. But nonetheless, they had to find somebody, and that is the place that's already paid for by the taxpayer dollars to do things like decide on unemployment and all that kind of stuff. So they put it in their hands in case there is an appeal. Now it's gone down to the House. The engrossed version of Senate Bill 9 went down to the House, and it went today to the House Health Committee, and the House Health Committee substituted it again. My first thought is, what have they done? What have they done? Well, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm really, so far, first blush, I'm really not bothered by it. So when Senator Elliott on the phone with us a moment ago was talking about the bill being substituted, saying they had added in some medical conditions, I thought I understood him to say specific medical conditions had to be met. No. Here's what it did. I'm going to read it to you. You ready? It's going to be a form, and you're going to have some options. You check one and sign your name. There's no affidavit. You're getting it notarized. You don't have to provide background evidence, except for one. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And so it says, check all exemptions that apply. The first one is, my healthcare provider has recommended I not take the COVID-19 vaccine based on my current health conditions or medications. All right, that's good. The next one says, I have previously suffered a severe allergic reaction related to vaccinations or similar injections or medications, meaning you have a legitimate fear of taking another vaccination based upon previous bad reactions to them. Okay, there's that. Doesn't ask for documentation, you just check the block. The next one says, and this is good, I have been diagnosed with COVID-19 in the past 12 months, meaning they're allowing you to have natural antibodies, and not in the past year, you don't have to go ahead. You can just say, I've already had COVID. I've got natural antibodies. I get at least a year of grace here. In the meantime, it's in court, and the Attorney General's fighting it. There's that one. That's good. The next one says, check the box. I am immunocompromised such that receiving the COVID-19 vaccine creates a risk to my health. That's a good one. Here's another one. I have another health condition that prevents me from receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. That one says, please attach any relevant information, meaning something that shows your diagnosis that contraindicates or it's contraindicative of the COVID-19 vaccine. And then the last one is, I'm requesting exemption from the COVID-19 vaccine for sincerely held religious beliefs. And that one's unquestionable. There's no documentation required. And the bill goes on to state that it should be liberally construed in favor of the employee. So, folks, I think what we have here is a pretty decent bill. I'm sure we could pick it apart. I do know there are some folks who are going to never be satisfied because they just believe that the state legislature should have done what it probably couldn't do, which is say no. And we have to get beyond no. We have to have a nuanced no. This is a nuanced no that it's going to be hard for the courts to argue with. And so, all right, let's see what happens now. So Senate Bill 9 is going to go from here to the floor for what's called its second reading. Before they leave the floor today, they'll receive a report from the House Health Committee. It'll be read that this bill has received a favorable report as substituted. And then tomorrow, as early as tomorrow, we could see this bill come to the floor, hopefully achieve final passage, and go to the governor. And if she signs it tomorrow, it's the law tomorrow. So what I'm saying here is, by tomorrow, those of you that are worried about what your employer is doing or saying about having to get a mandated vaccine, you may have an exemption opportunity as early as tomorrow. That's good. And I'm glad that our state legislature has chosen to do more than what the governor called them down there to do. Because, folks, they didn't have to. I mean, personally, I think they had to, but you know what I'm saying? It was not in the governor's call. They had to take it upon themselves to add to their business, and they chose to do that because they knew this was a hot-button issue. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Quick break, and we'll be right back with more of that. By the way, etaxbreaks.com, one of our team members here is etaxbreaks.com, a group of folks who I've known for a while who have 23 years of experience at doing one of the coolest jobs you could ever ask for, which is just basically finding people money. What a cool job. Etaxbreaks.com, their mission in life is to find you money you didn't know you qualified for. They literally scour over 3,000 programs around the nation, and they discover with, you know, based on who you hired, where your business is, what kind of business you have, did you survive the pandemic as a business and keep your employees, did you do certain things like, you know, survive a natural disaster, all these things and more qualify you for funds you may not have any idea you qualify for, and they don't get paid unless they find it for you. So you just check them out at etaxbreaks.com/rightside. That's etaxbreaks.com/rightside. And see if they can find money for you. In July alone, they found over $7 million for their clients in 1 month. I'm just telling you, go check them out. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. All right, so a question from one of our listeners. So Bobby just texted me. Bobby, I got your text, bro. So listen, he's asking this question. Is the bill that we just talked about, Senate Bill 9, only as to Alabama companies or all companies? He says he has a friend who's about to lose his job that does not want to take the vaccine due to health concerns and is about to be let go. So, Bobby, here's my understanding of that. I'm looking at the bill right now. If the bill stays intact without any further amendment, what it currently says is any employer that requires an employee to receive a vaccination as a condition of employment shall provide the employee the opportunity to be exempted by submitting to the employer the form described in subsection C, yada, yada. That's what I talked about earlier. The employer shall make the form available. All right. Then it goes on to say in paragraph C, the exemption form shall read as follows, quote, any individual in the state of Alabama who is subject to a requirement that he or she receives one or more COVID-19 vaccinations as a condition of employment may claim an exemption, yada, yada, yada. And it goes on. So I'll just be honest with you, man. I read that to say that if his employer is based in another state, but his employment is subject to Alabama law, Alabama taxation, Alabama Department of Labor guidance, then he should be allowed to claim that exemption. So a major corporation, let's say ABC Corporation is based in Colorado, but they have employees that are salespeople, for instance, here in Alabama. My understanding is where they may not allow their employees in California to do it, they may have to let their employees in Alabama do it because that's Alabama law. They have to comply with other laws in Alabama to include labor requirements. So why would they not on this one? So, Bobby, hope that answers your question, and it's a good question. But I believe this bill will say that even if you're part of a multi-state corporation, that the fact that you are an Alabama employee is what makes the difference. Anyway, there's that. Also, by the way, just got the word. I was about to ask about this, and I have my favorite legislative affairs person who just sent me word. So the other bill, remember there was two bills, Senate Bill 9 that we talked to Senator Elliott about and Senate Bill 15. Senate Bill 15 is the one that adds some strength to the original vaccine passport bill that our legislature passed earlier this year. Didn't have enough teeth in it. And then it also went one step further in the current version, and it says that there will be no inquiring of vaccination status by any of any minor without parental consent. So that is good because it went down to the House also, and my understanding is it did go to a House committee, and it did receive a favorable report out of committee also, which means that both Senate Bill 9 and Senate Bill 15 have traveled through the committee process and will hopefully both be on the floor tomorrow for a vote. So that's good doings right there, y'all. That is good doings. Just a reminder, I said this earlier, if you're not tracking what I'm saying on this, literally the folks in the legislature right now are down there in a special session. They cannot convene whenever they feel like it. Unless it's a regularly scheduled session, they have to only come down there when called by the governor. And the governor issues what's known as the call. So they have certain things they have to do. And this was not one of them. The fact that they're doing this right now is only because at least two-thirds of the bodies agree that this is important. And even though the governor did not see fit, by the way, let that sink in. Let that sink in. For reasons I cannot fathom, the governor and or the governor's staff decided that dealing with vaccine mandates in the special session was not important. They did not want to do it. They felt like it was better left to the AG just to handle by himself. That's wrong. This needed to be done because the Attorney General needs the benefit of state law to assist him going forward. And you need to know that even though the Attorney General is filed suit and is moving as quickly as possible towards getting things enjoined, that if this bill passes tomorrow, your legislature has put something in place immediately. And that's important. So keep in mind, I think this had to happen. And for reasons that are just unfathomable to me, the governor, who, and by the way, when I agree with her, I'll agree. And when I don't agree, I won't agree. And this was wrong for her not to put it in the call. But I am proud to see the state legislature, which is a separate branch of government, said, by God, this is what we need to do right now, and they're doing it. And I don't like every aspect of these bills, but it's one of those things where I recognize, too, I'm sitting here looking at them, and I recognize that I cannot let my quest for the perfect defeat my opportunity to have the good. And that's what would happen. So some of you out there that are so pure that you cannot see anything except what you want, just understand, all you got is nothing right now. You got nothing. And this bill is going to provide you with something. And if it's not your version of something, you better reconcile yourself to it, because it's the something you're going to have. Because at this point right now, I can just tell you, there's not a whole lot more movement left in the legislative body. They've already substituted it in committee, which means it's likely in final form. There's an opportunity for floor amendments, but I doubt it at this point. Just knowing how this is tracking, I doubt it. So my thinking is what's going to happen tomorrow is both these bills will report out today. They'll come to the floor tomorrow, and they will come to floor debate. They will have Democrats trying to stall it. They will have the House whip making sure their votes are in line. They'll have to probably invoke cloture, which means stopping debate at a certain point. And then they'll take a vote on the bills and pass them both. But because they amended them, because they changed one of them, they have to send what any changes, they have to send them back up to the Senate. The Senate will convene, if nothing else, for the sole purpose of just concurring or non-concurring, which I believe by then they'll probably concur. And at that point, it goes to the governor. So by tomorrow night, all of those machinations I just described to you, they could be done. They could be good to go. Other things are happening around the nation, though. Let me grab this paper over here. I got lots of paper. Copper, you got a question for me? Somebody calling in? Just grab that mic and tell me. Be fine. While I get my paper. All right. Copper's on the phone talking to someone who wants to remain anonymous.
Oh, I'm back.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Scared me like that. All right.
All right.
We had an anonymous question. Is that what's going on here? What do we got?
Yes. He does want to come on air, but he just wants to remain anonymous.
All right. What's the question?
He's asking about the bill and if it would help people at all if they've already been laid off.
Okay. What a great question. So, okay, here's Lawyer Phil speculating, all right? And I'm going to have to say, first of all, it depends. Now, I will say this. Not everything is a black and white issue. So, was it a man or a woman who called you, Copper, that was just asking just now? Okay. So, sir, if you've already been laid off, here's what I would anticipate. First of all, employers are only subject to the law that exists at the time. All right. This law is not retroactive as far as I know. So this law not being retroactive means it would only apply going forward. It's a prospective law. All right. So there's that. It, black and white is the employer doesn't have to. If they've already laid you off and this would have helped you, they don't have to do anything about it. To the best of my knowledge, I don't recall seeing anything in there. I'd have to go back and read it in great detail, but I don't think so. The other answer to that, though, is if you want your job back, if you want to work for these people who just laid you off, which, you know, you may have to make that decision. Do I want to work for them again? But if you want that job back, I would go down there tomorrow after this passes, and I would say, hey, boss, I want to make sure you know. They just passed this law, and it may not be retroactive, but it's the way you got to handle things going forward. And rather than trying to hire somebody to replace me, I'll come back if you'll take me back. And then I'll put my form in the file and we'll call it done. And that kind of thing is certainly doable, because if I were the boss and I had to retrain somebody to do the job, knowing full well the state law had just changed right after I laid somebody off, I think I would be pretty amenable to saying, all right, man, so good. I'm glad the legislature did that. Yeah, man, sign the form and let's get on back to work. That's what I hope will happen. So to answer your question, sir, I don't believe that it's going to wind up being retroactive in any capacity, but I do believe it's going to be what's called persuasive. So retroactive, no, persuasive, certainly. Listen, I'm going to tell you a couple things here before we head to the break. So my number two on the triple dipper today was that vaccine mandate pushbacks are ongoing, all right? And I've spent most of my time now, this hour, talking about just two bills that are traveling through our state legislative process. But there's another few things that are out there that are happening that I want to make sure you know about. I did not know they could do this. Did you know? And we're going to take a short break now, but I'm going to tease it right here. Did you know that the guidelines that are being pushed by Biden through OSHA, that the Senate has the ability to overturn an executive order? I have never heard this. Story on Fox News. I'll give you that when we get back from the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, having more fun than a man should be allowed to have. If you want to listen to us live, no matter where you are in the world, just go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. And I'm looking at a story right now, too. I gotta do this. It's a bit of a breaking news story, although I will point out that Charlene told me about it this morning, and it just popped up to where I could grab hold of it. So get this, and we're going to talk about this more after the top of the hour with State Party Chairman John Wall, with the way elections have resulted in things around the nation. But New Jersey right now, New Jersey is too close to call. I mean, I've got it still up on the phone, on the TV right now, and I'm watching as they are still going through the polling, and they're showing that they cannot quite yet decide who is the winner of the New Jersey gubernatorial elections. But to give you an idea of how things are going in New Jersey, the president of the New Jersey Senate is in danger of what is called a stunning upset loss to a guy who's just a Republican, a truck driver who only spent $153 on his campaign, like literally nothing. He just basically had the filing fees, and he spent $150, and the $150 was probably to buy T-shirts or something. And it says literally he's a truck driver by trade, but he is right now in the midst of potentially unseating the longest-serving Garden State Democrat Party leader in the state's history because of the shift in the political winds up there. I'm just telling you, folks, this is funny. This is just cracking me up. Going back to this topic at hand, and I see I got a caller coming, so Copper, I'll see that when you get ready for him. But when you look at what's going on around the all this stuff about vaccine mandates, right? The pushback is really growing, and not just from one angle. Like, I'm so glad right now that our state legislature is doing something. I'm so glad that our attorney general is doing something, and oh, by the way, joining with multiple other attorneys general to take legal action against the Biden mandates. I'm so glad to see that there is a push right now in the political winds to unseat leaders who do things like call for mandates and for other liberal progressive policies. But then here's a new one. I didn't know they could do this. So keep in mind, a lot of what we're seeing right now in terms of the Biden administration's vaccine mandates, they're not laws. All of you knuckleheads out there that want to go, well, federal law trumps state law. They're not laws. They're executive orders. They have the semblance of law without having the true color of law. All right? And right now, believe it or not, I mean, if it was a law, it would take an act of Congress, right? Not an executive order, which, by the way, is now subject to being potentially overturned. Story on Fox News today. Didn't know they could do this. Senate Republicans are planning to file a formal disapproval process trying to nullify Biden's vaccine mandate. This is not a long shot. I mean, okay, it's not a 50-50, even though the Senate, by the way, is 50-50. But right now what we're seeing is they have a process called, where'd it go? The Congressional Review Act. We're literally right now, 41 of our 50 Republican senators have already signed on to strike down Biden's ruling, going through a process known as congressional review. And they're going to file it. They should have filed it today, as a matter of fact. They're holding a press conference, I understand, this morning. And it says that our own Tommy Tuberville is among those who have already signed on. Richard Shelby has not signed on yet, but has indicated his approval for it and says that he will do so once the OSHA rule comes out. So the way this works, apparently, is the Senate Subcommittee on Employment and Workplace Safety is the one that has jurisdiction over OSHA, right? And they are going to literally have a process now when OSHA comes out with their rules, which they're supposed to do sometime like soon because, you know, it's such an emergency, they got to do it right away, even though they've been waiting for, you know, months. Remember that was August. But it's such a pandemic emergency that we got to hurry up, get this done. Oh, wait, it's been since August? Anyway, nonetheless, the Congressional Review Act allows, though, that once OSHA publishes it, that within 20 days thereafter, they can file what's known as a request for disapproval. It's a process by which they would review it, find grounds by which the executive order should be rebuffed, and have it nullified. Well, right now, imagine it. There are 50 Republicans. It's a 50-50 Senate right now. The tiebreaker is in the hands of the vice president. If this thing goes to a Senate floor vote, do you imagine that potentially there may be one, two, three, or more Democrats who would say, sorry, Mr. President, your polling numbers stink, nobody likes you, you can't get anybody elected, and you fall asleep in meetings, and so I've got to help my people out. So next thing you know, one, two, three, nine Democrats to say, yeah, we'll vote for that, and nullify the mandate. Can you imagine? That would be a huge day. Well, I didn't know they had that option available to them, but I'm interested to see how that goes. Story right now on Fox News. There it is. Another bill that I thought was pretty cool, Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. By the way, this is co-sponsored by Tommy Tuberville. I mentioned this a few weeks ago briefly, but it was only in passing. I want you to know a bill exists. Now, this one is a long shot. But a bill exists right now as dropped in by Senator Marsha Blackburn and co-sponsored by our own Tommy Tuberville. that says that basically if you were ever declared non-essential, or excuse me, essential during the whole pandemic shutdowns, that you cannot now be fired. Because if you were once deemed official by, or essential by government, you cannot become non-essential thereafter. I love that. That's just righteous. All right, folks, listen, we're going to a break. We come back. I've got Chairman John Wall from the Alabama Republican Party going to help us break down what's happened in elections around the nation and how it portends things for 2022. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.